Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies. It's Sunday, February 13th, 2022. But you're listening to this on February 14th or after, because time travel is real. Marty! So happy Valentine's Day, if that's when you're listening to this. My guests today are Brandon Collins, Kevin Kraft, and Tom Takkar. Hey, guys!
Yay!
Oh, it's so fun when you have an all-male panel. You can say, hey, guys, and it's not a microaggression. It's just friendliness. But let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically, starting with, I call him Brando sometimes. It's Brandon Collins.
Hey, Doug. Thanks for having me back on, man.
Dude, thank you for being here. Do you have a Super Bowl pick?
I do not. I honestly don't even know who's playing.
Well, what do you prefer between kitties and, let's say, like, goats?
I would go with kitties.
Okay.
Absolutely, because so I'm not a fan
Bengals.
Of goats.
You're a Bengals fan, then.
Okay.
That was a perfect answer. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better answer, because I'm going to watch the game, but, you know, it's all about just seeing what, you know, the America and the world is watching and giving a shit about that I don't personally care that much about, but it's
I just assumed that Brady was playing, and then my wife is like, Brandon, you know, he just announced his retirement like a week ago. I'm like, oh, fuck.
That's a funny thing, because one of our guests today, I'm going to need to ask him about his retirement plans, but we'll get to that in a second. fresh off of his win in San Diego last weekend, it's Kevin Kraft. How's it going, Kevin?
Yeah, pretty good, Doug. Thanks for having me back.
How was the traffic getting to where you are today?
I would say light.
It wasn't bad, right? Walking from one room to another.
Now, going from Studio City to Studio City was a breeze.
Yeah, Studio City to San Diego last weekend. Pretty rough, I hear.
Yeah, so, it's nice that we have time travel worked out, but teleportation, I'm still waiting on.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And time travel is always we still haven't gotten to the point where it's, you know, you can really take advantage of it.
Yeah, much like, I guess, a lot of 2022 technology, not as cool as it should be.
I gotta say, I love flying west. I love it. I love the how you know when you land, you really gain a lot of time back.
Most basic form flying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that you can do things in the air, you're not like wasting time up there. You're like, you know, you can actually do stuff on your phone and watch a movie, whatever. And then you land and it's before you took off. It's amazing.
Yeah, I love it.
Also joining us today, the rumors that he is retiring as well are not true.
I don't know about that.
Oh no. Me well, and, he's gonna have to tell us about it. It's and, formerly Tom Brady, currently Tom Takkar. Hey Tom Takkar. Hey
Doug, thanks for having me. Good to hear from you. So Tom Brady did retire. My name used to be Tom Brady. We are linked, not unlike Harry Potter and Voldemort, in that I also have to retire now. If he goes, I go.
But what do you have to retire from? Because you don't just do, you know, you're not just one. He only plays football and maybe looks good. Because he does he have to retire from that?
Yeah, I think he has to quit that too. He's got to let himself go.
He's just got to quit it. He's just retiring from all of it.
Yeah, he is going to move. He's going to start hanging out at Walmart more and just start looking like a person from Ohio. I lived in Ohio. I'm not trying to insult the people of Ohio, but
we know what you're doing, Tom.
I know what I'm doing. But yeah, he's got to let himself go. He's got to become one of us. It's going to be nice. But
I think that right now might be the perfect time for Tom Takkar to go back to Tom Brady.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're going to pick up some ticket sales on the road. Cause now it's plausible that it could be Tom Brady's going to show up. You know, they're not thinking, oh, he's got a game on Sunday. Like that's they might be point. Like, this could be the actual Tom Brady. We'd love to hear do stand-up comedy.
I think we're about 10 years from that actually happening. I'll be opening for Tom Brady at a Funny Bone in a mall. You're right. I've been waiting for this day for a long time. In fact, I think he should have to change his name to Tom Takkar, and I get to take Brady back. Be good for me, man. I feel like a loser because I feel like I'm the only one who's part of this, who does give a shit about sports. And it's like, you feel like a fucking idiot caring about football with people who don't. And I know I'm going to go to a Super Bowl party now. That's a lot of people going like, I don't even care about this. And I'm going to be like, I care so much.
I don't care, but while watching it, I will, you know, yell at the TV, my opinions, you know, I mean, I do have that.
Your opinion, you know,
I have the ability to do that. I just don't have the time to follow. Following football is a lot of. How many hours a week do you think you put into football, Tom?
Well, it was a lot this year because I was really into fantasy football and I got really into sports betting because it became legal in New York, and so I spend all day Sunday pretty much until I have spots. So like, maybe 6 hours on Sunday and then another couple on Monday usually. So this is a part-time job now where if you do it right, you make $200 a year. So it's not that lucrative.
Yeah, the winners are pulling down that kind of dough.
Yeah, exactly. I won this year after spending so much time every week picking the perfect lineup. And I was like, oh, this was all to make $200. I could have just picked up like a shift at the local coffee shop and done better. But it was fun.
Fantasy football just lifts all boats because everybody that's involved has to watch every game.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, you've got players spread out everywhere. So you have to see all of it.
Well, this is why I like it too. Cause I'm a Colts fan and we're just a very disappointing franchise. And so it makes it more fun to watch football if you don't have to watch your own team.
Well, so then who do you have in the game today between Kevin and Brandon?
Between Kevin and Brandon?
Who are you more worried about beating your ass today? Well, I think it's going to be a tough competition.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin, it sounds like it's coming in off a W, and you just don't like to see momentum. You know, I feel like that's going to be tough to beat.
I don't know. I think everything that's happened so far has killed that momentum.
I did bet on Kevin, so
everybody's pretty calm right now. I'm a little excited because I've got a friend of mine's just bringing, just as a gift, some homegrown. He's just bringing me a jar or two of homegrown, and he's 5 minutes away. So that's got me excited. Why did I bring that up?
I was just gonna be like, hey, good for you, bro.
I think this, I mean, that's all I'm saying is that I'll put off, I'll make somebody wait outside for a while because that's how much I want to play these games today, because I do think it's going to be fierce competition. And before we play the game, so I have a request of each of you. I'd like a recommendation of a motion picture. Can be any movie, but just one. Just please recommend a movie. We'll go in alphabetical order. We'll start with Brandon Collins. You see a lot of movies, many before they're even street legal.
Yeah, but I'll recommend a movie that like should be readily available for people. I watched it the other day, and it's called Dope. It stars Shameik Moore, and it's directed by Rick Fumuwaya. And it's awesome. It's like this high school kid in California who's like a big 90s nerd, like 90s hip hop nerd. And essentially he gets a backpack full of drugs and like chaos ensues. But it's one of the best coming of age stories I've seen in a long time.
And you just got around to seeing it, or you just were rewatching it because it's 2 years old, right?
Yeah, I saw when it first came out, and then I rewatched it recently, just because I like had nothing to do and it was on my YouTube TV. So I was like, oh, let me rock with this, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I mean, I've always thought she's pretty famous and popular, but Zoe Kravitz is really, really blowing up at this point. So it's good to point out that that's something that she was in and is great in, as she always is. And that's a really, really fun movie, you know, even though there's a lot of bullying in it, which I, of course, do not approve of. But
yeah, but the bully is like Keith Stanfield. So you're kind of like, I kind of like this guy. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. I don't like, you know, enjoying the bullies ever, but sometimes that happens and alleviates some of the anguish. But it's just a real fun movie. Excellent pick. Now, Kevin, you're in a tough spot because out of the gate, Brandon came up with Dope, and it is, in fact, a dope movie.
Yeah. Well, I stumbled upon a movie recently on HBO Max, a Nick Cage movie called Army of One. Have you seen that?
Okay. You know what? Tell me a little bit more about it, because I'm feeling like, I like to think of myself as a Nick Cage completist, but I'm also feeling like I might not have watched this one. Is it a, does Army of One imply that it's a revenge thing?
It is the Bin Laden one. Yeah. I don't know how this got past me, because I'm the same way. I like to watch every Nick Cage movie. I'd watch him read a dictionary for 12 hours. But yeah, it's one where he plays this guy who believes that God appeared to him and told him he has to go and capture Bin Laden alive by himself. And it's actually based on a true story. Like when they do the credits, they show actual news footage of the real guy Nick Cage plays talking about going to Pakistan to capture Bin Laden. And it's, I don't know. I like watching Nick Cage for when he's actually good and it's an actually entertaining movie, but I also like the ones where it's just completely ridiculous and you're just laughing at it the whole time. But this was actually a legit good Nick Cage comedy. It was fucking awesome. Like Russell Brand plays God. Paul Scheer's in it. Will Sasso, Rainn Wilson, Wendy McClendon Covey. It's fucking great. I really liked it.
All right. Okay. I got to check it out because, you know, like you said, it's worth the effort to watch every Nick Cage movie. And you know, every once in a while, you might say, oh, I could have done without that. But, you know, I mean, like I'll tell people right now, now I'm going to fuck up the title. What is it? Captain Molina's Mandolins.
Something like that. Yeah.
you could skip that one. Anything with mandolin in the title, I think, is safe to skip. All right, let's go to Tom Takkar.
Yeah. First off, when you said I can't believe this got by me, I thought you were gonna say because I love Bin Laden for a day. I don't know why that's what it's
every
like
Bin Laden comedy is, you know, unmissable in my opinion. Yes.
So the rec I got, and it's because I went to see the new Jackass movie, and it reminded me of how good the movie Bad Trip was. I'm sure you've maybe talked about it on the show at some point, but like I would kept bringing it up to comics this past week, and like nobody I know saw it, and it was maybe my favorite comedy of the last 2-3 years. It's so funny. It's the Eric Andre, Will Rell, Tiffany Haddish movie. It's so funny, and it's like a great combination. It's a genius combination of pranks but also actual script. I thought it was really, really funny.
I was just sitting here thinking about how an army of one can take some dope and go on a bad trip. But it's true, Bad Trip is very, very fun, and also I don't know if suspenseful is the right word for it, but just the amount of jeopardy that they're willing to put themselves into and never seemingly break character while in jeopardy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all just so freaking fearless. It's so fun to watch.
It's crazy how fun it is. And it's like one of those where you're watching and you're like, I can't believe they're getting this. And like, and then I love that they do this at the end where they show you them interacting with the people that they were fucking with after.
Yeah.
You don't feel like, okay, what the hell happened? Like, cause there's moments that are really intense where there's a guy screaming in Tiffany Haddish's face. And you're like, how the fuck did that go after they told them that they were filming? And then the guy is super nice. It's really funny.
Yeah, people in all those prank shows, I mean, obviously there's some stuff we never see, or, you know, you really have to dig deep in the dark web to find it. But like the people, when they're told, oh, no, we're pranking you, they turn around pretty fast. Mm-hmm. You know, they become okay with it pretty quickly most of the time. And that's interesting human behavior, I guess. Just the amount of relief that comes over you. It's like waking up from a nightmare or something. You know, you're just happy that you're not in the nightmare anymore. You're not like mad at the nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a part of the new Jackass that's like that too, where you see a horrific thing happen. And then they're like when they reveal it to the people at the store, they're all like so happy and they're like grateful that they got to be part of it. And it's really funny. I'm not as big of a Jackass guy because it's the gross out stuff really gets to me, but like that was fun too. But yeah, Bad Trip is my wreck.
Oh, you saw the new Jackass?
Yeah, I went to see it last weekend. I went to see it at noon on a Sunday, which may have been a bad move. I was kind of pissed at my buddy because I was like, we could see this movie at any time of the day. We were both up till 4 a.m. drinking. Why are we at a noon Jackass showing where I have to see a bunch of jizz coming at me on the screen or whatever? And I was just like, it was not the right setting for me. I did have fun though. It was a good time. It's just
there was a shocking amount of jizz in that movie.
It's a lot. And
good thing you didn't see it in 48DX. That would have been a wild time.
Oh man, I mean, this sounds like way more jizz than I'm gonna want, you know, like because I'm gonna go in there wanting no jizz whatsoever.
Yeah, and then it's
gonna be a lot of it.
Spritz.
Yeah. I mean, is it more or less than Dickie Roberts' Child Star?
It's way more. Oh, way, way more.
All right. Is it less than, I'm trying to think of like a volcano movie or something.
I don't think it's less than anything.
Right. It's the most.
Yeah. Ever. I think that they set a record.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. That's the thing about a Jackass movie is it's like, is it really considered a spoiler to just give a somewhat of an indication about what point in the film one could expect this and maybe not be in the room when it happens?
I don't think it's a spoiler because it's literally the first scene.
No way.
Yeah, the very first thing. I mean, that's funny what they do, but yeah, they open pretty strong with them.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I obviously don't want to spoil anything for anybody. It's a Jackass movie. They're pretty fucking hard to spoil, I think, but I'm not going to I won't say what any of the stunts are or anything, but yeah, there's just a lot right off the bat. And then again, in the two thirds of the way through, there's another thing with a lot of jizz, and it's a recurring theme. It's part of right. The motif of the
jizz. Let me ask you this: can you, are you aware it's about to happen, or is there a jump scare jizz shot?
I would say no. This really big one that at later on in the movie, they warn you. You definitely know what's coming. no pun intended. the first one, it's a pretty funny little twist right up top. So I even though it's like I said, I don't really love seeing shit like that. It was funny enough that I was like, yeah, that part was funny, but.
All right.
It's a real tough thing for me because I'm not a big gross out guy, but it's definitely fun to watch. I mean, those guys are incredible. So I'm sure it'll be, if you're into that sort of shit, you're gonna have a great time.
I do like the idea of a cum jump scare though.
Hey, Scream 6 writers, if you're listening.
I'm sure, yeah. Somebody's done it already. They just haven't got it just hasn't gotten out to the world yet.
Silence of the Lambs had
exposure it deserves.
Didn't Silence of the Lambs do that with Clarice people come at her?
It didn't really that's probably what a filmmaker would do today if they remade it, was kind of almost have it fling at her as she comes around a corner, and therefore create a jump scare out of it. In the movie, it's more just treated like, well, that's, you walk by the cell of a insane person, that's what's going to happen.
Scared me.
I don't know. As a 6-year-old seeing that movie, I was scared.
No, it was horrifying.
What's that liquid?
Horrifying, you know what I mean? It was just sort of it hit her and she was just sort of like, I've seen a lot of actresses have a lot bigger reaction to a bug or a mouse or something than having an insane person flinging jizz at you.
I guess maybe there's something like Mary too.
I mean, I quit is what should have been out of her mouth right in that moment. Or how many more cells do I have to pass? And can somebody,
yeah, can we get a sneeze guard in here?
Can I get a towel? that movie, that every turn, something terrible like that, or just something that's a little off happens, and it's definitely one of the creepiest movies of all time. Thanks anyway we digressed there, but thank you for your recommendations, and I'm happy to say that the jar that I was expecting arrived safely, and the show was uninterrupted.
Nice.
Yeah. It would have been even better timing if it arrived right now, because then I could check it out during the break, but I'm still going to check it out eventually. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial.
No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We are back, and our first game today is, you know, it's Super Bowl Sunday. We're recording this early enough that those of us, Tom, who want to watch the game at a party, Tom, can do that safely. You got plenty of time to get to your party, oh, Tom? Yeah.
Plenty of time. Plenty of time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I was trying to be considerate of guests that care about Super Bowl, but turns out it's only one out of the three. So
none of the listeners care either. So it's, I feel bad even bringing it up.
I feel like, Tom, you're with me on this, though, that on Super Bowl Sunday, my thoughts turn to rom-coms.
Of course.
And that led to the creation of the first game we're going to play today. And it's got a movie title mashup for the title of this game. This game is called Remembering Sarah Marshall We Dance. And of course, the movie was called Forgetting Sarah Marshall. But this game, it's important to remember Sarah Marshall and Shall We Dance. Two movies that I'm guessing my three guests today have all seen, the former but not the latter.
Yep.
That is correct.
That's yeah. Never even heard the title, Shall We Dance?
So no takers on Shall We Dance.
Is that with Richard Gere and J-Lo?
And J-Lo.
That's oh, my God, J-Lo. I have seen it.
Even better. Damn it. Even better. It was a remake of a Japanese film, I believe. Pardon me if I get the wrong country, but it is a remake for sure. Because I even think the original movie is called Shall We Dance? And they started to make it that title, or they released it under that title here in the United States. They did tests and found out people didn't like the question mark. So they took it off and just changed it to Shall We Dance? Like, just, it's going to happen. Let's not question it. Which you think it would go the other way around. But anyway.
I thought you were going to say they added an exclamation point. So it was like, Shall We Dance?
Shall We Dance? yeah, but that's, yeah. Shall We Dance? Shall We Dance? Shall We Dance? I will say a factoid that applies to Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Shall We Dance, or both. We'll start with Brandon. He gets the three to choose from. If he misses, then Kevin gets it narrowed down to two, and Tom will get the gimme point, at least if that's how this round goes down. But every time somebody gets a point, or, you know, gets it right, then the next person gets to go first in the next round. Brandon, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Shall We Dance, or both, is longer than 1 hour and 45 minutes.
No.
Refusing to answer the question. Your options are just, is Forgetting Sarah Marshall longer than an hour 45 minutes? Is Shall We Dance longer than Or are both longer than an hour and 45 minutes?
Both are longer than an hour and 45 minutes.
You're going both.
Yeah. Sorry, right. But my edible really kicked in while you asked that question.
Oh, well, that's I appreciate you you taking an edible and timing it so that we all got to enjoy the drama. But wait, which one did you say again? You said both?
I said both, yeah.
Okay, hang on. I got to get the right sound effect going. I feel
like Brigadier Sergeant Marshall was over 2.5 hours.
That is correct.
Ooh.
Both movies are longer than 1 hour, 45 minutes. Shall We Dance barely makes it over to at an hour, 46. But Sarah, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, is an hour and 51 minutes long.
Wow.
Yeah. But okay. One has to remember it came from the Judd Apatow factory. Right. And, you know, he likes them even longer than that.
Yeah. I think I watched the extended cut. That's why I was thinking of it so long.
Yeah. When you said that, I was like, holy shit. I don't think it's that long.
Over two.
It is longer than it needs to be, which, you know, a lot of movies are these days, but people love to argue about, but you're getting more. Why isn't it better to get more? I'm like, listen, Marvin the Martian, go back to your dumb planet. Okay. Yeah,
I'm tired of hearing from his ass.
I'm tired of it. That guy is always, that'd be funny if you're like, you know, like your inner thoughts, your conscience was just always in his voice. Just having to hear that all the time. All right. So congratulations. Brandon didn't fall for anything there. He went right for the correct answer. Kevin, you get to go first on this next one. Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Shall We Dance, or both has one Oscar winner in the cast.
Oh, my.
No bonus points for telling me who it is.
Huh.
But it could be one movie, the other movie, or both has one Oscar winner.
Okay. I'm more familiar with the cast of Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Of course.
Nobody's really jumping out at me, but it might be a Doug trick. So I'm going to go with both. I'll say both.
Yeah, I will reiterate, just so it's out there, because I did say it earlier, that Shall We Dance has Richard Gere and J-Lo in it.
Yeah. Oscar winner, J-Lo.
So you're going both.
Yeah.
All right. Hang on.
Oh, no,
it's incorrect.
Sorry, gentlemen, that was me. I get aroused by wrong answers.
Nope, that is wrong.
It's all right, buddy.
Tom, what do you think between the remaining two answers?
I just want to clarify. You said exactly one Oscar winner, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's some wording stuff here where you're fucking with us. Is it possible? Wait, is neither an option, or is it just, no, it's not.
Yeah. So and since he took, Kevin took both, your options are Forgetting Sarah Marshall or Shall We Dance?
I cannot remember anyone from Forgetting Sarah Marshall who won an Oscar. So I'm going to go with Shall We Dance.
That's your answer. Shall We Dance? To reach further for this one.
Damn it.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
Yeah, because doesn't Shall We Dance, Richard Gere and Susan Sarandon both won Oscars, right?
See, this is what I thought too, is I was like, I think that more than one person in that one.
Here's where things get nutty.
Yeah.
Susan Sarandon is in Sarah Marshall and has won an Oscar for that movie she was in where she played a nun, Dead Man Walking. And Richard Gere has been nominated a few times and is just been such a famous actor that everyone, Mandela affects him into having an Oscar when he has never won one.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
wait.
Yeah. He won the Golden Globe for Chicago, but then did not go on to win the Oscar for Chicago.
But Susan Sarandon did win one?
She won one for Dead Man Walking.
And she's in Shall We Dance.
I just said that.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I thought. But she's in Shall We Dance. Is she not?
Oh, she's in Shall We Dance, not forgetting Sarah Marshall. Yes. Hang on, everybody.
<Uh-oh>. I was like, that's where I was confused. Okay.
I'm so glad you caught that because, you know, I write this stuff down in a, you know, I do.
That's why I was clarifying. I was listening. I wasn't just like, wait, what were you talking about?
I take peyote and then write this stuff down as I think of it. And yeah,
she was, I don't believe she wasn't forgetting Sarah Marshall.
No, that's where you have immediate proof of being correct. I just wrote it down wrong. So Shall We Dance is the correct answer.
Oh, damn.
Let's go.
Yeah. I don't know how to take back a boinging, boinging sound, but yeah,
that
I have
boing
to,
really hurt me. So
I have to take it back. Yeah, I thought it was such a clever question because of Richard Gere being that being confusing, and then no one, you know, forgetting Sarah Marshall has a terrific cast, but none of them have gotten you know, to the Oscar. I thought Jason Segel was going to get nominated when he played that author in that movie with the. Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh,
yeah, right. Okay. Apologies for everyone concerned. But I believe now Tom has 1 point, Brandon has 1 point, and Kevin is gonna, he's still waiting for his invitation to arrive in the mail.
I'm just sitting here with my boing-oing-oing.
But he is ready. he could spring into action if Brandon doesn't get this one right. God, I hope I wrote this down right. I think I did. Oh, Jesus. I think I did. Brandon shares a cast member with a movie you've probably seen already. It just opened yesterday, I think, 2 days ago. Shares a cast member with the new Death on the Nile.
Okay. Shares a cast member with new Death on the Nile. It's like Armie Hammer, Leslie Odom Jr. I'm going to go with forgetting Sarah Marshall on this one.
Okay. Double checking my math here. which one did you say?
I said forgetting Sarah Marshall.
You said forgetting Sarah Marshall because of who?
I mean, I'm just like shooting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. I got it. I figured it out. Hang on.
Oh, no.
Kevin.
Okay. I have not seen Death on the Nile yet. But I'll roll the dice and say both. I don't know why, but
wait, which one did Brandon say?
Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I thought I was right. Because
I think you are right. Now
is it Russell Brand in the new
Oh
one?
No.
It keeps happening.
Yeah, this, but the tiebreaker I know is perfect, but you know what? I'm not gonna need the tiebreaker. I gotta take back another boing. This is ridiculous. I'm glad this game is over. God, I wrote down everything so terribly, but
homegrown hits different.
Yeah. No, I think that it's just they switched those two somehow. And anyway, so
it's weird that Russell Brand's in the next one, in this new one, because wasn't he in the first mystery that Kenneth Branagh did? Like, it's kind of confusing.
Oh, was he?
I think he might have been, but I also
didn't see Murder on the Orient Express. Yeah, I didn't see it. So, but yeah, like I clearly haven't seen Death on the Nile either. But yeah, Russell Brand is in Death on the Nile. I see him screaming at somebody in the commercials on TV, and of course he was in, like, his breakout role was in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah,
you know, then they went and made that Get Him to the Greek movie with his character. But the tiebreaker was going to be Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Shall We Dance, or both. And then the trivia piece of trivia was UC Dong. But we all know the answer to that. That would have been a giveaway for whoever gets to go first. But Brandon won that game. Congratulations. Through all the confusion, you pulled it off. And that means you get to go first in our next game that I'm hoping I created on a different day than the one when I came up with this one, because that's probably on a different set of drugs. We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are back, and we're going to play Filmily Feud, and I'm very excited about this edition of the Filmily Feud, which is basically just Family Feud, but with film questions. I'm excited about this one because it's the Oscar nominations edition.
Ooh.
Yeah, the Oscar nominations just came out last Tuesday. I know we all like to keep moving forward, and we're pumped about Valentine's Day right now, but this is my first show since the Oscars. So I took to Twitter to ask some burning questions based on the nominations. Your job is to guess which answer got the highest percentage of votes in my Twitter poll. You get the percentage, you get that number in your total. We're going to play three rounds. Each of you gets a chance to go first, but Brando is up first in this first round. Here's the question that I put to Twitter, and then I'll tell you the four choices. These are always multiple choice. I'll give you all the options. And you pick one, and then the next person has to pick from the three remaining, etc. Brandon, I wrote biggest best picture snub ? And then the choices I gave them were House of Gucci, Being the Ricardos, Tick, Tick, Ellipses, Boom, exclamation point, or Spider-Man, No Way Home.
I mean, I got to go with Spider-Man. That was like one of the biggest movies of all time. So the fact right. that it was snubbed, like, personally offends me, but, you know, not everyone's a movie geek. So we'll see what the results say.
Yeah, so and good. You know, the thing is that Titanic, Jaws, Star Wars, you know, previous biggest movies of all time, E.T., they've all gotten nominated for Best Picture. So especially, and many of those were in years where they only nominated five films.
Yep.
So the fact that they got 10 slots and it didn't make it in there does show that there's a bit of snobbery going on, but at the same time, people should just pay less attention to the Oscars then, you know, if they, you know, feel like it's such a tragedy, because I feel like Spider-Man has already won. It's already won over the world. Like, it doesn't need an award at this point. Yeah, right. It's already the biggest movie of all time. Right. So, you know, at least at the box office. So, I don't know. I don't think anybody involved in it cried over the nominations, but that's what Brandon's going with.
Yeah,
but the fans are livid. They're so upset about it. They're like, how can you say, who was it that just went on record and say they're mad about it?
I think Kevin Smith. Yeah. And people got mad at him.
Yeah. Kevin Smith was like, how can it be the biggest movie at the box office but not the best picture? Well, because it's voted on by people who make movies. So people who make movies, for whatever reason, you know, there's a lot of old school movie making types. Scorsese, for one, you know, who thinks these Marvel movies shouldn't count. Like, they're not.
Scorsese was a producer on The Joker. It's such a weird, like.
Oh, he's so silly. It's so dumb that he's every single one of them. It's like 1 or 2 degrees away from Joker or Star Wars or anything Marvel. Like, they're all just, you know, anybody that says this stuff is just their gut reaction, their knee jerk explanation for why their latest movie isn't making money.
I also really like that Roland Emmerich was recently doing that. Like,
yes,
complaining. My movie is like, yeah, that's what's ruining your movies.
Yeah. Dude, you just made Moonfall. How can you complain about Marvel and Star Wars?
Yeah, his exact problem is that there's no originality anymore. There's only tentpole movies. And it's like, well, just because every movie you make is a disaster where there's nothing left to put the tentpole, you know, there's nowhere to mount it. You know, it's always complete destruction of everything. Like, but it's the same thing every time. Like, he's not making original movies. He's just, you know, going from disaster to disaster, and they're always so silly. Okay. There's 3 movies remaining. And Kevin gets to go next between House of Gooch, Ricardos. And Tick Tick Boom. No, everybody gets to pick one. Then I'll tell you what the percentages are of those remaining options. Which one do you think got the highest amount of votes?
I love that you went with the porn parody title, The House of Gooch. But I'm gonna. People really like when people sing at them. So I think it's going to be Tick, Tick, Boom.
And people really like it, or they really hate it. It's, you know, it's pretty polarizing.
Yeah, but I think the likes outweigh the hates. Singing movies always tend to do pretty well. Well, I guess not West Side Story, but.
I mean, we're talking people that I guess follow me on Twitter. So, they could. The logic could follow that I talk a lot about musicals. I'd probably scare people off if they hated musicals. Tom, what do you think between House of G and or B and the R?
I'm just going to go with, I don't think it's either of these, but I think I'm just going to go with House of Gucci just because it was big.
Okay. Well, even though it didn't pay off for you in a huge way, probably one of the smartest decisions so far today. and this is coming from someone who wrote down the answers all wrong. House of Gucci got a mere 11% of the vote for best picture snub.
Sure.
Biggest best picture snub. But being the Ricardos, came in fourth with only 1% of the vote.
Oh, damn. I mean, that movie was terrible. So
little love for being there. I do not know why it was in the running for anything. I don't know why it got 3 acting nominations. The 3 actors barely even try to act like the people they're playing. I don't get it. They're just all coasting really on Sorkin fumes, but it's just like it didn't get nominated for, you know, director, picture, you know, anything that's actually Sorkin screenplay. Anyway.
Yeah, so that would be considered a snub, because I feel like Come On should have been like way higher on. Like, I feel like that one. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Phoenix. No, it was so.
Yeah, good. That was pretty good.
There's a few movies that a lot of people, feel that way about this year, which is, I think it's just good that there's, you know, that they can pick 10 movies and people are still outraged that ones they liked didn't get in there. It's a good, you know, good shows. Yeah. It's a good year. And they didn't, you know, there was a few I thought would slip in there that I was just like, again, like, I don't like when people just get nominated on fumes, you know, like, oh, that person made a movie, let's nominate them again. Which is kind of how I feel about Dench. I haven't seen Belfast yet, but I feel like
it's the white version of Roma. If you remember that Netflix movie,
that's true. That's a great point.
That's essentially what it is. It's the same, like, it's black and white. It's like there's war happening. It's very similar.
Oh no,
that's really funny.
Branagh needs to steal from somebody. It's either Shakespeare or or the director of Roma. Okay, so let's do the second round. I was just looking at the clock. We're doing all right. Kevin, you start us off. Oh, wait, I got to still tell you the rest of the results.
Yeah.
Tick, Tick, Boom got 34% of the vote. And then Spider-Man did, in fact, is so popular that it also was popular here. With 54%. Yeah.
Wow.
Well deserved.
Yeah. That was a big one. So puts Brandon in the lead, but anything could happen with how crazy these numbers can get. Kevin, who do you think? I think it could be either category, supporting or regular. The question was just. And I gave him four options. The question is just biggest actor snub. And the options I gave them were Ben Affleck, Jamie Dornan, Mike Feist or Faced, I guess, and and Jared Leto. Mike is in, he plays with a lead gang member in West Side Story, and everybody says he's tremendous in the role. A real find. Ben Affleck, people kind of thought he was dancing around with Oscar for both The Last Duel and for The Tender Bar. Jared Leto is under a ton of makeup, so he looks like Jeffrey, Jeffrey Tambor in House of Gucci. And Jamie Dornan was one of the many actors in Belfast and one of the couple of them that people think got snubbed. So out of those four, which one, Kevin, do you pick as the biggest act of snubbery?
That's tough. And it's tough to go with the guy whose name we don't even fully know. Because I also think a lot of people didn't see West Side Story.
Oh, it's by them being loved, they love being sang at.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I know he got nominated for a Razzie, but I actually think Jared Leto is a really good actor. And I'm watching House of Gucci later today, actually. So I haven't seen it, but I'll just give it to him because I like Jared Leto.
Okay. I mean, any logic is good logic in this game. Tom, do you have any?
Well, the only person I've actually heard get brought up for this in person is Ben Affleck, but I know that a lot of people, he also gets kind of made fun of a lot, but I really like Ben Affleck. I don't know why. But Belfast is the only movie I feel like I've heard people rave about. So I'm torn between Dornan and Ben Affleck, but I just out of personal preference, I'm going to go with Ben Affleck.
Dornan's really funny in Barb and Harm and Marm.
He's hilarious in that. Movie's also great. That movie's so funny. He's really funny in that. I was like not sure how I was going to feel about him, and then that role is so funny.
Yeah, I think he's a great actor. So,
The Way Back,
I like that anybody thinks he's snubbed at all is good.
Yeah, but The Way Back, I like that was one of those Ben Affleck movies that I was, and I know that's
really not good.
What he's getting snubbed for, but like that's one of those movies that I was like, this is such a like cliche movie that like I feel like they make this exact movie like once every 4 or 5 years, and I still enjoyed it. It was a great performance. I called it Manchester from the Three because it was his version of Manchester by the Sea, where it's just a drunk, like sad guy. And I thought he pulled it off and it was fun.
Well, he had a brother to go for research for the role.
I know. I love that movie and I love this one. It was great.
All right. That leaves the West Side Story guy or the Belfast guy?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Dornan, even though I think I know who that I'm wrong, just because I don't think anyone saw West Side Story. I haven't even seen it. So I doubt he was, you know, someone that people are freaked out. Ben Affleck is like a good choice, but yeah, I'm going with Dornan, but I'm pretty confident it's Leto.
All right. Well, you laid it all out there.
Put my heart on my sleeve, man.
You really did. And unfortunately, Mr. Dornan finished fourth in this particular poll, pulling 14%.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Mike, you know, none of us know how to pronounce his name and none of us have seen his movie, Faced. He got 19%, so not a lot more. He didn't lose a lot there in that showdown. And then 20% to Mr. Jared Leto and his makeup team.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do a terrific job, so maybe they'll win. Top dog here by a nice margin, Ben Affleck with 47%.
Oh, nice. Oh wow.
Damn. That's I didn't think it would be that high. That's crazy.
Yeah. And this is a very, very close game right now between the three of you. It's very exciting how the points have all pulled together, because Tom did the worst in the first round and the best in the last round. Kevin kept it in the medium range for both.
That's my specialty.
Yeah, and Brando came in hot and went soft, and so that leaves you all in the mid to high 50s. Tom gets to go first in the third and final round. Biggest, you saw it coming, actress snub. The options I gave are Lady Gaga, Alana Haim from Licorice Pizza, and Lady Gaga from Licorice Gucci. Yeah. And then Jennifer Hudson. J Hud was in the one of the two
Respect
Aretha. Movies, Aretha Franklin movies. And then the fourth choice, Queen Latifah.
What was Queen Latifah?
For what?
She was not eligible. She was on TV, you know, doing the Equalizer. I just thought it would be funny to put somebody in a poll and see what percentage they
bringing
get.
Bringing down the house, too.
I just want to see what percentage of people weigh in that she got snubbed.
That's a fucking curveball, Doug.
Yeah, that fucks with me.
We don't know if you're a little. I don't know if people realize this, but Doug is a comedian who has a Twitter account, and we don't know if people are playing little funny games. People just as a bit. Damn it.
Yeah, I don't know what drives people to give the answers that they give, and this is going to be exciting to see if anybody can suss out what. You know which one to pick, but Tom, yeah, you have to pick first.
I am between J Hud and Alana Haim. I know a lot of people loved Licorice Pizza. I have still not seen it yet. I was waiting for my lady to watch it with me. That is Lady Gaga, of course. I'm just gonna go with Alana Haim. That's the one that's in my gut because I know a lot of people love that movie. So that's my answer. And I like the band Haim. So
they're a good band. I'm
partial to them.
Okay, you're sticking with Haim. Brandon.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Lady Gaga, just because even my fellow critics were kind of surprised that she didn't make it. So I imagine if we were surprised that, like, Gaga fans and all of them were probably surprised too, even though the performance is cuckoo bananas. It's completely insane, but, you know, people like what they like.
That is a good point. All right, so Kevin, that leaves you with not too many options, but some interesting choices to be sure. J Hud,
Or Queen Latifah.
Latifah, The Equalizer on CBS. Wasn't paid to say that.
I mean, I feel like Doug Loves Movies listeners are very movie and trivia savvy. I think they sniffed out your curveball. So I'll go with J Hud.
I'm putting the scores together based on that answer. I'll tell you this first of all. Queen Latifah got 19%.
It's hilarious.
God damn it.
Such a crazy choice. I honestly thought, like, did I miss a Queen Latifah movie?
But then the sad news is Jennifer Hudson only got 11%. Yeah,
snubbed once again.
Yeah, so that brings Kevin to I think around 65 points. And thank you for playing. And coming up next is Lady Gaga with 33%. And Alana Haim got 37%.
Whoa.
Which is, you know, Tom got the number one here, but it was the consistency of Brandon and Lady Gaga being such a close second there that he brings it home with the most points.
Ooh.
And is our winner today. Oh, congratulations,
back, everybody.
Brandon.
Well done. Damn it.
Yeah, you did it again. Brando has been a repeat winner in the past, lasted several 5 weeks in one stretch, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn it. I thought for sure when you said that I had won for once in my fucking life on the show. Once. God damn it. Well done.
I mean, you know, I hope people are, you know, will check my math and they come back to me and let me know that.
That Spider-Man was a killer because that one was the.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah, that's a big one.
He's so mad.
No. I really thought I finally fucking won one, but hey, let's go, Brandon. That's what they're saying out there right now.
Well, we're going to be doing a show from the Punchline in Sacramento next Saturday at 4:20. That'll be, you know, next week's episode. So we will have you back if possible, Brandon, in 2 weeks from today.
Sounds good.
And in the meantime, what would you like to plug?
Yeah. So next Thursday, February 17th, I'm at the Rockwell Theater in Somerville, Massachusetts. Drum Black History, which is a dope show that my friend Gordon Baker Bow and I do, where we talk about unsung Black heroes in our history that haven't gotten their due. And then on Friday, February 25th, we're going to be at the Bell House in Brooklyn, New York. It's also going to be live stream. You can get tickets for both of these shows at www.drunkblackhistory.com. And y'all can just follow me at American Collins. I talk about movies and do weird gifs. So just hang out.
Right on. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Good luck not rooting for any teams today. Support you on that. Who's next? Kevin Kraft.
Yeah.
Promote yourself.
You can hear me as a co-host on the Jason Ellis Show podcast. And I also host the Mad Scientist Party Hour podcast. And both have very, very spectacular Patreons that I'm very, very proud of that you should check out as well.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
And Tom Takar.
Thank you, Doug. I will be in St. Louis at the Helium this weekend, Friday and Saturday. So come out to that. I also have a podcast called Stand By Your Band where comedians come on to defend music that people make fun of. It's really fun. Doug's
done it. Oh my God, I want to do that.
Oh, come on, man. Do it. We'd love to have you. Doug came on and did Taylor Swift. It was a good time. And then I have a special coming out March 4th on Epics. Unprotected sets, so check that out. And then just follow me. It's so unprotected, but you can follow me at Tom Takar, Thakkar. Thanks, guys, and also I apologize to the people of Ohio. I meant no offense. I love you very much.
Also, if you don't have Epics already, it's a great time to do like, that's a perfect excuse to do like a month long trial, watch Tom's special, and then whatever else is on Epics that you've wondered about, but you've never been able to watch. And then you know, dip out before they start charging you.
Absolutely. Do it up. And that'll be a good time because Chad Daniels also did one of those specials, and I'm sure that's going to be killer. A few other, Emma Willman, a bunch of other great comics were on that too. Nice. So you'll be able to see the whole series if you do that. So get over
Chad
there.
Chad was just defeated last week by Kevin Kraft.
Oh shit. Well, in that case, he's garbage and you shouldn't watch.
No, no. People didn't mind losing. What they minded was him being, they minded him yelling at them the whole time. He's very, very hostile towards the crowd. It's hilarious.
Yes, he is. I love to see it.
Yeah, it's so funny. Okay, so check out both of their specials on Epics. You know, whether you have it or you don't, figure out. You can figure it out. DougLovesMovies.com is where all my stuff's at. And I've got a Twitter account now for Doug Loves Movies, so be sure to follow that if you aren't already. Thanks again to my guests, Tom Takkar, Kevin Kraft, and we'll see Brandon Collins again sometime soon. As always, don't you touch him.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky.